Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Hopkins versus Covalev conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for live questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. We'd now like to turn the conference call over to our host, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We're very excited about this wonderful unification bout in the light heavyweight division between Bernard Hopkins and Sergey Kovalev. Today on the phone, we will have Mr. Bernard Hopkins, Sergey Kovalev, his manager, Aegis Klimas, Oscar De La Hoya, President and Founder of Golden Boy Promotions, and Kathy Duva, CEO of Main Events. We will begin the call as far as fighter order with Sergey first, and when we're done with his Q&A, Bernard Hopkins will be joining us immediately following Sergey's portion of the call. But to make the introductions and to get started, I'm going to introduce Oscar De La Hoya, President and Founder of Golden Boy Promotions. Oscar?
Thank you very much, Kelly. I greatly appreciate it. We are getting close to what is probably the most anticipated event of this year, the main event, Bernard Hopkins versus Sergey Kovalev, which will be a 12-round light heavyweight unification bout. The co-feature, we're excited to announce Sarham Ali versus Luis Carlos Abregu, which will be a 10-round welterweight bout. And that event is being promoted by Golden Boy Promotions and Main Association with Caesars Atlantic. We are excited to be also once again working with Top Rank. Thank you very much for the sponsors, Corona Extra, AT&T, for Tricia, Vodka, and Mexico. Tickets are still available, but they are, as a lot of people here on this call can see, tickets are going extremely, extremely well. Obviously, it's a testament to the great card that we have put together. So now let me, without any further ado, introduce to you co-promoter of this magnificent event to introduce to you Kovalev is CEO of Main Events, Kathy Duva. Kathy.
Hey, Oscar, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I am just so pleased to be involved in such an exciting fight. I don't think I need to say anything to sell it because it sells itself. It is the kind of fight that sadly doesn't happen often enough, and we're really really pleased to be working with Oscar and Golden Boy and HBO and all the great sponsors involved in this fight, including our Russian sponsor, Cortizia, to bring you such a fabulous fight. And we're I'm doubly proud to be able to bring it to you in my home state of New Jersey. The people at Boardwalk Hall and people from Atlantic City, the CRETA and the Atlantic City Alliance, and most especially Save the Best for Last, Caesars, Atlantic City, and Ken Condon, who is the really should be the patron saint of boxing in New Jersey, particularly Atlantic City, where he has kind of made it his mission to keep our sport alive there. It is just everything came together. Everything came together just the way you know you'd want it to be, and almost to the point where you think it's meant to be. And as Oscar said, we keep an eye on that box office every day. It is moving steadily, and it is picking up steam every single day. We are headed to, a packed house full of people who are going to be going crazy. So it's the kind of thing that if you can be there, you're going to want to tell your grandkids about it. So show up. And having said that, I want to introduce to you the gentleman who I think should be the manager of the year in 2014 and 15 and probably 16. He has done an amazing job, kind of new to the boxing scene, but he has got so many terrific fighters like Lomachenko, like Gradovich, and Sullivan Barrera, who's also with Main Events, a few others, Lipikin, Mikalenko. It is such a pleasure to work with him and the top fighter of his stable, as far as I'm concerned. Someone who I think is going to lead Aegis and Main Events to a whole new level in the sport. And so I want to thank him for as I do every day, for bringing Sergey Kovalev to my door. And I want to introduce Agus Klimas.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Hello to everybody. It is a big, big pleasure to participate in this conference call. I know this is going around the world. I just wanted to mention a couple of things regarding how hard Sergey was working for to get into this level, how hard he is still training, and he is still dreaming about to unify some titles. And I'm sure he's going to come in the ring. Of course, it's very, very tough fight. It's the toughest fight in his career, and we all as a team looking into it. As well, I wanted to thank, as everybody else, I wanted to thank our promoter, Kathy Tuva, but she did a very, very good job for Sergey Kovalev. I wanted to thank the Golden Boys putting that together. I wanted to thank legendary fighter Bernard Hopkins taking this fight, because he showed he could fight so many easy guys around, but he chose the most dangerous guy in the division, and it's a big, big respect for that. I wanted to thank HBO. I wanted to thank all the sponsors. I wanted to thank everybody who's participating in this bout upcoming on November 8th, and it will be very, very interesting. Looking forward to meet you all in Atlantic City on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you, Agus. And now it is my extreme pleasure to introduce to you the light heavyweight, the WBO light heavyweight champion of the world, and today, much more important than that, a brand new father. I am going to the father of Alexander Kovalev. Let's put it that way, and the light heavyweight champion of the world, and just a spectacular athlete who keeps asking for the toughest fight. Don't give me easy ones. Put me in big ones. It is such a pleasure to work with a guy like this. But again, I want to publicly congratulate him now and let everybody know that Alexander Kovalev's father's on the phone, Sergey Kovalev.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much, Katie, for congrats. I'm very happy and very excited that I got my new name, Daddy, like a father. It was for me greatest day in my life. I even a little bit cried from the happy, because yes, I was yesterday when I saw from the Skype, through the Skype, I saw how the baby was born, maybe in 2 weeks, in 2 minutes after when the doctors get out from Natalia. Natalia do this by herself. It's very important that he's get the life by self, not operations, any, like everything good. Natalia is too healthy, baby is too healthy, and I'm very happy. It's one victory from our fight in our life. We together with my wife already 10 years, and this first baby. First our baby. And this means for me everything right now. It's the most important thing in my life. Right now, I something felt yesterday that something flipped over in my head, and also in my heart. And right now, November 8th, one more fight, which I'm going to win and give this victory to my son, Alexander. Any questions?
Okay, operator, go ahead and open it up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Again, that's star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll go ahead and go with our first question in the queue, coming from Dan Rafield with ESPN.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Sergey, my question for you is, this is certainly one of the biggest fights of this year, and I wonder if you go back in the earlier part of your career when you were fighting on, you know, untelevised shows and, you know, Aegis, and you were traveling around and, you know, trying to make something of your career. Is this where you figured you would be, or did you have no concept that this is where you would wind up as one of the, you know, most significant fighters in the sport, fighting in a big fight like this and making a lot of money?
Yes. Дэн Рафаэл из ESPN спрашивает тебя, когда мы с тобой вместе ездили, боксировали в всяких ангарах и в остальных местах, когда-нибудь ли ты думал, что ты выйдешь на этот уровень и что ты будешь боксировать такие бои, и наверняка, что это будет как бы бой года? Были у тебя ли такие мысли тогда?
I can answer like that. You never know what will be tomorrow, but if you believe in it, it can happen. If trust and believe by self, and you have a goal, and you're going to this walk, and going to walk into this goal, and yes, this can happen, and then you push more, then you do more. It's your dream beginning close to you, closer and closer to you, when you work your heart and push you by self. It's when we fought 3-4 years ago with Aegis, traveling the whole country in America and fight everyone who was ready, I didn't think that this fight will be possible, but I believed that I can to do it, and I tried to do it, and someday a very big thanks to my promoter, Teddy Dua, and to Aegis, that they, from conversation, or I don't know how, like, that I signed contract with promoter Casey Dua and his company, Main Event Promotion. It means that my fight began televised. I long time waited this level, this stage, and a long time waited this fight, huge fight, big fight. When I was a child, I had a dream. When I watched it televised, TV, I watched it, and I had a dream. I want to be there. I want to be there, and I will try to be there. And I'm here. Everything from your head and everything from your heart, you know, like, if you want it, you can do it.
Sergey, was there ever a time during that period where you doubted it, that it would happen? Or you always, there was never a moment where you thought, oh, boy, this is not going to work out?
Были какие-то времена в твоей карьере, когда у тебя были сомнения, что ты чего-то достиг? Или ты всегда думал, что ты все достигнешь?
Even right now, I don't think that I got something, you know. It's just the next step of my career. It's not the finish of my career. It's just the next step in my career, you know. And I'm not going to stop after this fight with any result, win or loss, you know. Like, it's a boxing, it's a sport. And if I will win, I will grow I will grow more, like more experience. From any result, I will get more experience. This means I will go next fight. I will be to do more fights and interesting fights, you know, like, but next fight will be much more interesting because I will get more experience from my next huge fight. This is for me a huge fight. This fight is fight all my life, of all my life. It's a very important fight, and I still focus for this. Yes, my baby do yesterday, and I remember this, and my son pushed me more, and big motivation for me, you know, like, and now I understand for who I'm doing everything in my career. I'm doing it right now not for me. I'm doing this is for my family.
Thank you very much, Sergey. I guess if you could just talk about that a little bit, the fact that I know how much time you spent guiding Sergey, you know, through without having a promoter for a long time and paying to put him on cards. Can you talk about the difficulties of trying to do that and what you saw in him that made you continue to do it year after year until you got to the point where Kathy signed him and you were, you know, getting bigger fights and bigger purses?
First of all, I saw in him as a good human being, a good person. We run very, very hard times. We run in the hard times with him during his career where I had the doubts. Should we go further or should we drop it? Do we belong here in this world? Do we belong here in boxing or we not? You know, we were outsiders, like, and you know, like many others, like, you know, people coming from Mexico and people coming from Latin America here, and it's hard to find. But like one time Sergey said, you know, America is a country where your dreams come true. So it was a hard time, but just because being him as he is, a human being. And I, you know, I have some other businesses. I have some other incomes in this world. So I was thinking about, okay, what he's going to do? Where he's going to go if I'm going to say, okay, that's it, you know, we quit it. And just because of that, we both not quitters. We both went through the long time, through the long career, through the we still have the best relationship. And you know, because just of our relation, our nature, so we just be going, and that's where we're at. And the most funniest thing was when I met Sergey in New York City, he just came. I met him in Russia before that, but then when I met him in New York City, and we were going to North Carolina, Don Turner's boxing camp. His question was, he says, Egge, he says, you know, I don't have a power. Can you ask a trainer, you know, to work on my punches? And I kind of like, okay, well. And I asked Don Turner. I said, Don, can you work on him somewhere, you know, where he can, you know, to hit harder, you know, to be stronger? And then we came in, the first sparring he did in North Carolina, Don Turner turned to me and he says, where the hell did you find this guy? This is a bullshit. He doesn't need no harder punches. He has everything he needs. That's kind of like, you know, the story I remember probably for the rest of my life.
Very good. Thank you very much, I guess. Thank you, Sergey.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you so much, then.
All right, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question. The cue to this is coming from Lem Satterfield with TheRingTV.com.
Hey, congratulations, Sergey, on the birth of your son.
Thank you so much.
John David Jackson is not on the call, correct?
No, he's not.
Okay. Sergey, can you how much of an advantage is it to have John David Jackson in camp, given that he fought Bernard Hopkins and that he was with him for 4 years as an assistant to Nazim Richardson. What can he teach you about Bernard Hopkins and his abilities in the ring?
Он спросил, сначала тебя поздравил, потом спросил по поводу, Джон Дэвид Джексон к нами не присутствует, потом он спросил, какие видишь ты преимущества тренироваться вместе с Джон Дэвид Джексоном, который боксировал Хопкинса и который 4 года работал у него в углу как ассистент его тренера Назин Ричардсона. Какие ты видишь преимущества? Что он может тебе сказать, знаешь, помочь, что он знал этого?
I don't know what can he say to me something important, but it's the most important important thing for me. Just to keep going and systematically, and keep discipline, and keep working, and some special combination just in the set. And John saying that nothing dangerous from Hopkins, because Hopkins is already old Bambi from the mouth, and I don't know what the answer. Just to keep going, keep working, and doing the same thing, same that we do, that we did everything for any fight.
So he just tells you to treat him like any other fighter and don't get caught up in his tricks or his mental games.
Он говорит, как бы Джон Дэвид Джексон тебе говорит, не обращай внимания, то есть боксируй как с любым другим оппонентом, и что самое главное, не ловить на его какие-то менталитетные игры или там вот как бы, знаешь, на него сники шмики дела.
It's what John Dave Jackson said me that it's the secret about me and him. Why will be to say to everybody what he saying to me? This is a case for my victory.
Sounds
why,
good.
Why is it working?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I understand that everybody wants to see, but and hear what happened in my training camp with John Dave Jackson. But everything we'll see in the November 8th. Welcome to HBO in Atlantic City.
Thank you very much, Sergey.
Yeah,
got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, if you'd like to ask a question, remember that is star one to ask your question. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next question in the queue. Nestor Gibbs with the Boxing Voice.
How are you doing, Sergey?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, my question is, how do you mentally combat the fact that there's so much pressure? If you beat Hopkins, they say you were supposed to beat him because he's 50 years old. If you lose to him, it's even worse because he's 50 years old.
Как ты переживаешь, не переживаешь, как ты представляешь себя в этом и как ты готовишься на это, если на тебя идет сейчас очень много как бы напряжения, потому что если ты выиграешь у него, все будут говорят, ну и что ты выиграл дедушку 50 лет. Если ты ему проиграешь, это будет еще хуже. Ты что, проиграл дедушке 50 лет? Как ты с этим борешься?
I don't worry about who saying something, you know, to my side. I just doing my job, and doing job for me myself, not for not for them who just can't speak. Ringside, you know. First of all, I'm doing pieces for this, all my job for, just for me.
I don't.
And what will happen?
Go ahead, Sergey. I'm sorry.
And I just doing the first of all this job just for me, for my career. This is my career. This is not people career, you know.
And I'd like to make a comment on that, if I may. I saw a poll. I'm told about polls that are being done, and basically the press is about 50-50 on this fight. So when this is over, I don't want to hear about how old Bernard Hopkins is, no matter what the outcome. This is a great fight between two fighters. It is competitive. It is exciting. Bernard's never been stopped. Sergey has knocked out just about everyone he's fought. It is a tremendous, compelling fight, and it is going to be really – I'm going to be very unhappy if the press decides that when it's over, they're going to start raising the fact that Bernard is 50 years old because they're not raising it now.
So, Sergey, the aura that you come into the ring is that of a knockout puncher. Your record indicates that. The percentage indicates that. Gennady Golovkin is a middleweight that also has that same mystique and brings the same power into the ring. This weekend, he was able to score a knockout in two rounds. Is that something that you have on your mind, that you can be able to be the first person to knock out Bernard Hopkins, being as though that you come with so much power and force?
Рафкинс никогда не был остановленный, и ты как бы сейчас у тебя такой же план, как и остальное. Вот, например, как бы сейчас в прошлую субботу Головкин вышел и в двух раундах как бы разобрался с Рубио, и у тебя такой же самый как бы план или в голове мысли, что ты сейчас тоже сам выйдешь и как бы нокаутируешь Бернарда Хопкинса.
I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. I'm just going to the ring and get my victory, any cost. If I need to fight, I will be to fight. If I need to boxing, I'm going to boxing. This is fight. This is you can keep in your mind one strategy, and this strategy can change after, I don't know, after something, couple moves, you know, couple punches, like, it's, I don't have any strategy for the fight. I just go into the ring and fight like a street fight. Yes, I'm gonna kick his ass because he's my opponent. Any my opponent wants to beat me. If I not gonna beat him, he will beat me.
And Sergey, now that you've been training with John David Jackson throughout this time, and he has a close relationship with Bernard Hopkins, have you guys taken the time to train on defensively combating his excessive holding? At times when he faces big punchers, he's really slick. He has a talent at negating a fighter's power and fighting on the inside, but while holding and not being able to allow the referee to see those type of what would be considered tricks of the trade.
Thanks for giving us the tips. Серега, он говорит, что Джон Дэвид Джексон тренировал Хопкинса, у него как бы есть, он знает его стиль, и что когда вот он боксирует именно с боксерами, которые могут ударить, и работаете ли вы на это, что потом Хопкинс как бы старается делать всякие трюки, которые рефери не видит, которые он уходит от них, и вы работаете ли насчет этого? На что я ему сказал спасибо за то, что ты нам даешь как бы знать, как Бернард Хопкинс буксирует.
Ну да. You know, this fight will be not clean from the Hopkins side. I'm sure 100%. And I don't know what will be to do, what will to do referee in the ring. Who is referee in the ring? I understand that it will be three judges ringside and one referee inside the ring. And anything, anyway, I need to get victory. Dirty fight will be, or clean fight will be, you know that. For me, doesn't matter. I'll be to do dirty fight too if Hopkins will be dirty fighting. I'm going to fight Hannes. Clear fight. But who knows what will happen on November 8th. For me, very big interest too. Very big interesting. Very interesting. What will happen? It's I can't imagine what will happen. I don't know who is referee, who is judges, American or international. I want just that this fight would be honestly. If I will win, I want that my that referee will be, hands up my hand. If I lose, I lose. But I'm not going to lose, you know. This is boxing. I remember you again. This is boxing. And this is sport.
And Cassie probably can fill out that if, I believe we have set up that new rule was passed for the video rewinding. Is that correct, Kathy?
Yes. New Jersey is going to use, has informed us that they're going to use instant replay. They're going to, and HBO is working with them to mechanically implement that. So I don't know. There will be stories about it coming out, I guess, as we get closer to the fight. It's up to the New Jersey Commission to make those, with its new chairman, Larry Hazard, to make those pronouncements. But we've been told this is going to happen, so we're all very happy about that.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and move on to our next question in the queue. This is coming from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Question for Sergey. You talked about how you would like to make this a street fight. Could you tell us why specifically you would like that, given Hopkins' style of not throwing a lot of punches and evading punches in the fight? Why particularly a street fight?
Он спрашивает, говорит, я хочу спросить как раз сейчас тебе вопрос, потому что ты говоришь, как бы, почему ты не хочешь перейти на другой стиль, как бы выбрасывать больше ударов, выбрасывать как бы точных ударов, почему ты как бы сравниваешь этот бой с боем, с уличным боем?
No, this is my style. I can answer like that. This is my style. I can fight just like that. Why I need to throw more punches if my style, what I use right now, give me success? Да? Успех, так?
Да, 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 да. Well, in other words, what he was trying to say, and I'll talk to Сергей, if it's okay to say. Серега, с другой стороны, я хочу им сейчас сказать, что как бы ты сравниваешь это, когда идешь, например, на улице, ты не сравниваешь, что это будет уличный бой, но ты когда идешь на улице, там кто-то, что-то случается, начинается драка на улице, у тебя же нету плана никакого, ты не готов к этому.
Ну да, да. То есть,
so exactly what he's trying to say. He's not comparing the fight is going to be just like a street fight. They were going to use the knees and the elbows and all of that. He's just saying when you on the street and you run into the fight or you in somewhere else, you don't have a strategy for it. You can't say, oh, hold on a second, let me think about it. What strategy I'm going to use against you? That's what he's comparing this. He's not comparing like we're going to go in the ring and we're going to fight like on the street. We're going to use elbows, knees, you know, the dirty punches, you know,
hit below the belt. No, he's just saying, like, I don't have a plan, just like walking on the street and the fight comes in. That's what he that's what he meant. Did it make sense?
Okay. And what do you see as the weaknesses of Bernard Hopkins and where you would have advantages over him?
Какие ты видишь у него слабые места и какие у тебя будет преимущество над этим?
I think so. This is question is very funny and really, like, why I never will say to you and everybody about what you did ask. What you ask, you know, is this my secret for the fight?
All right. Then we're going to go ahead and move on to our last question in the queue. This is coming from Mike Woods with The Sweet Science.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. Question is for Sergey. Sergey, did I hear you correctly when you said that if I lose this fight, I'm not going to lose, but if I lose this fight, are you not 100% certain that you're going to beat Hopkins?
Я правильно услышал, что ты сказал, если я проиграю этот бой. Он говорит, или мне это послышалось. И почему ты говоришь, что если я выиграю, это что, ты не 100% уверенный?
This is boxing. I can repeat for you, special for you, that this is boxing. And everything in the boxing can happen from the one punch, from any punch. Mm-hmm. This is not swimming. This is not not bicycle, you know, like riding the bicycle. This is not running. This is boxing. I'm sure for you, for me, 100%, myself, 100%. But this is boxing, you know, like.
So you are certain you are going to beat him, but you do realize that little 1% chance that sometimes strange things can happen. So there is a slight chance that something weird happens so you don't win. But you are 100% certain that you will beat Hopkins.
Ты на 100% уверен, что ты выиграешь его, но как бы только не уверен, что может что-то по ходу боя случиться.
Блядь, такой тупой вопрос. I don't know what I can answer for you.
No, it makes sense to me. Thank you.
Да, you too.
Okay, that was the last question for Sergey. Kathy, do you want to wrap this portion up, and then we'll turn it back to Oscar De La Hoya to make introductions for Bernard Hopkins. Kathy?
Yes. Yeah. I think Sergey said it all, and I really don't know what that, you know, what I can add to that. So I just want to thank him and everybody else for being on today, and tell everybody just to make sure you tell your readers and your listeners and your viewers to be tuning in on November 8th, and if they get the chance to be in the vicinity of Atlantic City, they really should go get one of those tickets that's left because they won't regret it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sergey. Thank you, Agus.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Do we need to be online?
No, you can hang up now. It's fine. Congratulations on your baby.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now, media, thank you for that portion of the call, and now I'm going to turn it back over to Oscar De La Hoya to make the introductions for Bernard Hopkins. Oscar?
Thank you very much, Kelly. And now let me introduce to you the current WBA and IBF light heavyweight world champion and obviously future first ballot Hall of Famer. He's won the middleweight world title in 1995 and defended that title 20 times, solidifying his place as one of the best, if not the best, middleweight in boxing history. So Bernard Hopkins, not only are we talking about the fighter who is the best in this era, but can possibly be the best in any era. And when you talk about comparing, you know, the 80s and the 70s and the
60s and 1990 and the 2000s. Well, Hopkins is a fighter you can say would have competed, if not, would have been the best in any era. That's who we're talking about right here. We're not talking about just a fighter, any ordinary fighter. We're really talking about an alien, Bernard Hopkins, who at the age of 49, going on 50, is still fighting the toughest and the very best. This man calls it old school. We will never, ever, in our lifetime, see a fighter like Bernard Hopkins, probably ever again. So if anybody watched the well-produced, well-put-together 24/7, you can see how Hopkins is still working hard, has never, ever lost a beat, who has captured America by storm, proving to everyone that just because you're in your 40s, it doesn't mean anything. It means that it's just the beginning. So with a record of 55-6, 32 knockouts, the oldest fighter in the history of the sport to be world champion, probably the best athlete, not fighter, but athlete in any sport. From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Bernard the Alien Hopkins.
Thanks, Oscar, my partner. Everybody, thanks for being on, and I'm looking forward to it. And Atlantic City is alive again, and November 8th on HBO. People who view in are going to see something special, and I hope people can come down and witness something special. November 8th, HBO.
Okay, thanks, Bernard. Okay, operator, you want to open it up for questions now for Bernard Hopkins, please?
Absolutely. If you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's *1 if you'd like to ask a question. All right, and we're going to go ahead and go with Daryl Bell. Daryl, please go ahead.
Bernard, how are you doing this afternoon?
Blessed, man. Everything is good.
All right. Tell me something. The name, the alien, what does that mean? I know you began as a nice little joke, but now it's really picked up. Tell me, when you hear that name, the alien, is that better than being called the executioner or even the champion or something else?
Well, first, it wasn't a joke. I'm very, very serious that I am different than the human beings that I talk to and the human beings that I interact with who can't understand me, but I can understand them. So it's not a joke. It wasn't a joke, and it's definitely not a joke now since they realize it's not a joke. The difference between the executioner, that time was that time when the executioner executed 20-something contenders who some one or two became champion and rest haven't. So the alien is by age. The alien is by the difference between the average person who has a lifestyle that's not on a radar of an alien. And so when you can have that strong discipline to be able to not get involved in a sport and play of this world, whether you're successful, especially, or not successfully successful, then you are looked upon as being strange, different, or weird. So I'm neither of those things, but I am an alien. And so that's where I came up with I have to be an alien. I was diagnosed as being an alien. If you watch 24/7, Dr. Pasternak explained as much as he can, and I don't think he had his license taken since the 24/7 was shown last week, or this past Saturday. So I really, really believe and understand that I am different and not a part of this world, but in the world. And so that's why people can understand how I can be so disciplined around all the things that recreational things to do when you're successful, having a little cocktail, a little party, or a little celebration,
or as they say, the humans, let your hair down.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and we'll go ahead and go with our next question in the queue. Of course, this is coming from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Hey, Bernard.
Hey, Dan.
So here we are again, and my question for you is, as you look back on all the big wins that you've had, is it possible in your mind for a victory against Kovalev because of your age and unifying the titles? Is it possible in your mind to trump what you did with Trinidad, which I think is the fight you always have referred to as your most significant victory?
Yeah, there's multiple things that will be debated, which was more historic in boxing when everything is said and done. To me, it's not just another fight because I'll be playing it cheap, and it's not. This is one of the significant fights of the year, if not one of the fights of the year. I just want to make sure that when it's debate about Bernard Hopkins' legacy, that it will be hours up all night debating, arguing amongst the worlds of the experts on trying to figure out where we put this or start this new label, where to start Bernard at the top and anybody else that comes after that underneath. So it might not be. There's so many things I've done in my career, Dan. In 2001, post 9/11 unification, yes, that was the unification in a unique and strange in boxing. We don't get that a lot, but that's why it was significant to me to be able to do this 14, 13 years later. I mean, you've been around this game a long time, and this doesn't happen the way it happens for me at this particular time in my life. Just put the age to the side. There's nothing to sneeze at. That's the main thing. But just being able to be around as long as I've been and still fresh as a daisy, I believe, and I'll prove it November 8th, there's no definition to put really behind it. It just enjoy it, understand it, and realize that you might not be alive to see it again. I might not be alive and not to see it again. So who knows?
So in your opinion, I know you're going to let the experts and the historians argue, but in your opinion, would a victory against Kovalev trump the Trinidad win?
I don't really know. I don't really know because the executioner really put down a profound trail to be able to try to compete. I mean, 20 defenses. What division is going to do that in any divisions? 21, 22 divisions in boxing? Who's going to have 20 defenses? The way these guys jump up and down every time they fight. So you know, Dan, it's a great question that I really can't answer. I'll let the people see and debate about multiple, and this is the pleasure of being in this position, multiple things that I've achieved. The oldest fighter breaking his own record, the first middleweight to become light heavyweight. Ray Robinson couldn't do it because he couldn't answer a 15-round bell. Dan, this is something that is going to be debated because there's so many things to debate about one man's career. And so to me, that's definitely not a negative. That's a positive.
Agreed with that. My other question, though, for you, Bernard, is many times before you've had a lot of your big fights, whether it was Trinidad, Tarver, Pavlik, you know, we can go on down the list, there was a large segment of fans and media that doubted you. And my impression was that you definitely used that doubt to be somewhat of a motivational factor for you, a chip on your shoulder, if you will. I remember after the Pavlik fight how you came and looked at the press row and basically gave us the evil eye because we had all picked against you. So now you're almost 50 years old and you're fighting Kovalev, yet if you take a look at what people are picking in this fight, it's kind of like even. I mean, there's a lot of people that think you're winning the fight that they don't doubt you anymore. So my question is, what do you use, since you don't have us to pick on for this fight, what do you use to motivate yourself?
Alien. Alien.
Could you just be more particular?
The thing is that right now, if I was using the media to be motivated, which I have for many, many years, that become old after a while. I mean, you can't get so much water out of a rock that, you know, it's dry. I've been to the well so many times on that particular motivation where that motivation and ran its course. I've been around so long that I didn't ran a course that the media doesn't really help or hurt me as far as being motivated. And so what motivates Bernard Hopkins is now to every 40 and up people out there that's living, whatever job they have, that they're afraid that this young intern is coming to take it, and they can relate to that, then they will root for me and they will be for me, and I'm representing them. And so black, white, Chinese, Muslim, Christian, Jews, doesn't make no difference. They will look at the age, and they will say, rumble, rumble, old man, rumble, and I will do that. And I will make them proud when I'm done, November 8th, being the undisputed light heavyweight champion in the world for the second time in my 20-plus year career, going on 3 decades. I mean, this is sports, not just boxing. This is sports. They're going to have to recognize, and they will. And it's starting to come around, but they will really come around after November 8th, and that would motivate me, Dan. That will motivate me. I don't need the media no more to be motivated. I have for many years. That then ran its course. And so I must prove, and I will prove that this is not some promotional hype job. This is something that's been said about Bernard Hopkins years and years. He takes care of himself. He can box as long as he wants, and he ruined careers. So I'm up to bat. In a couple of weeks, we up the bat again, and just enjoy it. Enjoy it, because you might not never see it in our lifetime.
Now, if you win the fight, you're not going to be undisputed. You'll be close. But is it hard for you to just?
In my mind, people believe, and most minds, and you probably agree with this. If you don't, you'll tell me that Stevenson somehow jumped ship because he didn't want to fight Kovalev. And the projection of the fans believe that Kovalev is as much dangerous and the light heavyweight to beat in the division. Now, I would not go back on my word that the man beat the man, become the man. Now, that's the political part. That's on paper. But I gained a strong support amongst the world of boxing fans around the world. Beating Kovalev and beating him in grand fashion will open up a lot of debate, will open up a lot of debate about a lot of things, and one will be in a good way of Bernard Hopkins, where I stand at the top of the division. And if I don't, then it will be just what it is. But I believe this will be a bold statement. It was not only a bold statement to make the fight happen in a short time fashion, but it'll be even bolder with a grand performance of Bernard Hopkins, better than Pavlik, better than Tito. I mean, to outdo yourself over and over and over again, it's going to be exciting, and I'm fired up for it. I'm really up. I'm really ready for this fight. I'm really to show people in Atlantic City that Atlantic City ain't dead, and Bernard Hopkins definitely ain't dead.
Bernard, one other thing about this fight, because Kovalev comes into this with the reputation and certainly the record that shows it, that he's, you know, one of the best punchers in the sport, but you also are known as one of the best defensive fighters, and who is a guy who, you know, has such a great chin, only been down, you know, I think 4 times in your entire career, 60 fights, but in 2 different bouts, and that's it. Do you think that we're going to have an idea of how this fight's going to go early? In other words, if he cracks you and you take it, that it's going to be a long night for him? I mean, is that sort of the way that it's going to be, that if you can take what he delivers, that you can do your thing and just box his ears off and win this thing easy?
Well, I can't play Monday morning quarterback, but if he can punch like everybody say he can punch, it might not be no second chance. I mean, this is the great thing about November 8th and coming down Atlantic City or watching HBO. If you have a TV that works and you pay your cable bill, you can watch it. I mean, this is the thing. Can Kovalev do what he's been doing for 90% of his opponents? Can Bernard Hopkins take a punch that he took from other known big punchers in boxing? But, you know, I don't go in there thinking that. I go in there thinking that I got a game plan, and whatever gun he has, I'm not going to run from the gun. I'm going to disarm him. And if anybody know anything about military, police, or anything like that, or karate, or anything they might want to say, they will understand what I mean by that. You have a big punch, I'll disarm you. Now, if you have plan B, buckle up, because y'all going to get your money's worth. And now we're fighting. That's the game plan. That's not even a secret. It's just common sense to me. And I'm hoping it's common sense to anybody that's listening. Whatever he has, like I've done many, many times, he's a human, I'm not, I will disarm him, and now let's fight. Let's see your skills.
All right, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question coming from Lynn Satterfield with RingTV.com.
Hey, Bernard, how you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Okay, I guess one level of intrigue, you talked about the media not being so much of a motivation, but at least for some fans, a level of intrigue added to this fight is the fact that John David Jackson is his trainer and that John David Jackson, you beat him in the ring. He's one of those champions you talked about. And he served as an assistant to Nazim for a time. First of all, was he with in your camp when you beat Tarver and Pavlik? And then second, is he a factor in any way? Is that a personal challenge to you in any way?
I mean, it's not a personal challenge to me or John David Jackson. First of all, John David Jackson, I always say, is one of the elite trainers out there who never really got his respect. And November 8th, he wants to get that big boost to get that respect. But again, maybe John David Jackson will show him the fight that we fought and realize that he didn't have the code to beat the executioner at the time, and now it's the alien. So maybe John realized what he should have, you know, how he should have ducked or how he should have fought at that time. But to me, it's like John ain't fighting. John ain't in the ring. And look, you have to give the information to the athlete. The athlete has to be able to take that information and be able to use it to his best ability. Let's see, can he do that? Because John David Jackson definitely can't fight for him. John David Jackson had his chance. John David Jackson got knocked out, I believe, in the ninth round. So,
yep.
I mean, to me, how can a teacher teach a student and the teacher flunked the test too?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was he with you when you fought Tarver and Pavlik?
Yes.
The two of your other really big wins in Atlantic City where you're going to be fighting.
Yeah, I believe, yeah, he was.
Thank you, Bernard. I appreciate the answer. Good luck on November 8th.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll go with our next question. Mike Woods with the Seat Science.
Hi, Bernard. Question.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Question stems from something that Kovalev said that I found curious, and I wanted your take on it. He said he does not have a strategy for fighting you. He says he's just going to come in and fight his normal way, and whether it's a fight, it's a fight. Whether it's a brawl or a street fight, it's going to be that. I just want your take on that. I find that to be a little bit curious, that he says he does not have a strategy to fight you.
Well, that is a strategy. He gave it to you already. The strategy, he just gave it to you.
You don't think he's going to? Yeah.
Having no strategy is a strategy. Kovalev feeds off what you do and how you react to help. If you're scared, he's going to get brave. If you're not, you got to sharpen up and get his stuff together. Some fighters are like that. I'm not. So I can understand the comment. I've been around so long, I can read these guys without even them speaking their mind. I understand just by their fighting style and how they fight, how they think and what they're thinking about. Your reaction is how he reacts. So my thing is I don't want to take nothing away from the guy and what he's been doing, because I don't want nobody to take what I just said and try to use it against me when I win this fight. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's some slippery-minded people out there who's going to be upset after November 8th. You know, who's going to go to bed, you know, taking a lot of drinks, shots, you know, of their whiskey bottle. So my thing is I don't want to take away from you know, what's going to happen, but he actually told you the truth, because I understand what he means when he said that to you. He feeds off the energy of the fighters he have fought in the amateurs and also in the pros. I mean, I didn't dug up amateur fights with this guy. You know, I know how he breathes. I know how he sits down. I know where he sits down. I know how he thinks. I know everything about him. And that's what I do with every opponent that I'm getting ready to fight. I want to know my enemy. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know how he sleeps. I want to know what he's uncomfortable with.
And quick, last question. I do wonder, we heard that it is said that, you know, you're going to be regarded as the best in the middleweights if and when you beat Kovalev. I'm wondering, do you think that you should be more so in the discussion for being the best ever? all-time greats, the best fighter ever because of what you're doing at this age, TBE. Should you be in contention for that?
The best fighter ever is Sugar Ray Robinson. To me, the best fighter after that is Muhammad the Great Ali, and then the debate starts from on and on and from there. My job is to go out and set a profound, profound legacy that will be debated amongst generations where Bernard Hopkins sits in history. Maybe it needs to be a different title, or will be a different title started because of what I'm doing. Maybe I will be the first, and anybody else that accomplished that as years go and I'm dead in my grave will be after that. But right now, I'm going to stack the deck so high that every reporter, every historian, every body that studies boxing and analyzes boxing from the past to now is going to have a difficult time. And that's the fun part about it, because I want them to have a difficult time, because I didn't have a boring career and I was blessed to have a long one. But I don't know where I'm not a fool like some fighters will say, well, I'm greater than this man, I'm greater than that man, because there's no 15 rounds. I wish it was. There's no fights that we made, the best fight, the best. We're doing that now because of Golden Boy Promotion, my partner De La Hoya, and Kathy Dua, main events, got the deal done and didn't talk about it. We was about doing a fight. We talked about it, but we got the fight done. We got it done. And so, you know, there's a lot of little things in there that I would not brand myself that. I would not take myself out of one of the best to ever done it, but I'm not definitely, would never say I'm the best. That's up for debate amongst history. But I know I won't be down the 100 and 200 line of the letters. So I just got to continue to do my work. I think November 8th will be another performance where people is going to say, man, where do we pit this guy? Because I respect everybody's, what they have, their opinion, pound for pound list. But you notice I'm not on anybody's pound for pound list now. And that might open your eyes up, but I don't want to be on there after this fight is over when I win it. Because to me, that'd be making me human. I'd be human if I'm amongst other humans on a pound for pound list. They're going to have to start another list for me, and they'll come up with the title of it. And it, hopefully it ain't no pound for pound list. Because if I'm not on it now, I want to be on it November 8th. And I'm saying that because I'm setting a different bar, and it's going to be so high, I don't think anybody going to reach it in my lifetime or yours.
All right, and we'll go ahead and move on to our next question. Jenna J with On the Ropes Boxing.
Hi, Bernard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm fine. How are you?
All right. I'm doing very well. Bernard, the question I have for you is, I recently talked to Nadeem Richardson, and he said that you've actually had two Hall of Fame careers. He said you had a Hall of Fame career at middleweight, and you're having a Hall of Fame career now at light heavyweight. I'm curious, do you think there's anything you can do in the light heavyweight division, being a champion at the age of 50, that could trump your accomplishments at middleweight?
Yeah, the age. The age of doing it. The fighters I'm fighting doing it. I mean, I'm fighting guys that literally smashes the crusher. I mean, listen to the name. This guy's got loaded guns. He can take you out with one punch. So, I mean, it's right there in front of our eyes to see the difference between now and then. I mean, you go back 15-plus years where the middleweight division was ruled by me for 12 years, and you hit 15 years on that age, 35 on up, and you say, well, man, this guy's now went to another division. But you cannot never forget I'm doing it at the age of 49. And anybody that tries to downplay that, I will not debate with them. They'll just make themselves look very foolish. Because one thing we, y'all humans, pay attention to, women or men, whatever it is, and you know I'm telling the truth when I say this, it's age. You get to looking in the mirror, it's a little wrinkles that you might be getting because you're not in your 20s no more. You might not see the body that you used to have, but she has it. She's 22, 23. Y'all know what I'm talking about if any woman is on the phone that's over 30 or 40. So we can't downplay this like it's nothing. So the difference between now and the difference between then is time. And if time is everybody's enemy that's human, then why is it being so friendly to me? And I tell you, November 8th on HBO, you'll see why time is my friend and not my enemy.
All right, well, Bernard, earlier in the conference call when they were talking to Sergey Kovalev, it was asked to him if he beats you. And after the fight, they start making things about your age, saying, well, he was 49 years old. I have a question really basically to you is will you be the first one to stand up and say, look, you know, he beat one of the best guys out there. He beat Bernard Hopkins.
Absolutely. Well, I would. I've said that many times with fighters, I believe, that won the fight. Absolutely. I mean, you got to get credit where credit is due. But he will also, I hope, pay homage to the OG. You have to understand that when you recognize talent and you recognize that you didn't do what you said you was going to do or couldn't do, however it worked out for you or didn't work out, you got to pay homage to that. And that basically what it is. But let's not forget, it works both ways. And you know what? Normally, fighters, 9 out of 10, you know and I know, we respect each other after it's all said and done. They talk all we talk, and at the end of the day, 99.9%, we hug each other, we do what we got to do, you do the interview, and you go back in your dressing room. Now, it's y'all, some, not all, the reporters. See, they got their own agenda. Some... They can't say who they want to be with, but they might want someone to not win because of whatever, or they might just been proven wrong so many times where they finally, I got him now. See, it ain't the fighters. It's the persons with the pens, the computers, the laptops. You know, they sit down there, they squat down in their chair and they try to hide their face behind their laptop because they so foolish they went out and boldly, you know, predict what they think they are God they can do. So you can't put that on the fighters, and I'm not really saying you are, but it ain't the fighters. Look at every fight. Look at the one last week. Look at the one before week. Guy got knocked down. He hugged the guy. Great fight, man. They wouldn't even let go of each other. So it ain't the fighters. It's the ones that don't fight, who wants to write everything, thinking they can write, thinking they know boxing better than ones that go in the ring and do it. It's the people that watches is the ones that don't give credit to the fighters. The fighters will get credit 9 out of 10 to whoever dethroned them or whoever became victorious. I've seen it many years. I've been in the game almost three decades, and I know I'm telling the truth. Y'all have to pay homage after November 8th. Y'all, not the fighter, y'all pay homage. The only thing is y'all not in the ring, but y'all really got the voice. And sometimes the last voice, but that's what people read and that's what people see. And they know the truth, and that's what makes the fans one of the greatest fans in sports is boxing fans, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm biased.
All right, and we'll move on to our next question. Jeffrey Freeman with the Knockout Digest.
Yes. Hi, thank you for having me on the call. It's an honor to speak with the Archie Moore of my generation. Mr. Hopkins, sir, you have a brave heart for fighting Crusher Kovalev at an ageless 49. You're, in effect, fighting the Gennady Golovkin of your weight class.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. I mean, this is a unique situation, and this is a challenge to me because I feel like, you know, if you're going to be in the game, you might as well be in the game on top. I always took on the best. I always wanted to take on the toughest, the most dangerous. And what else is new? If this was something that sprung upon in my career, everybody would be shocked. But they know I've took on some badasses in the last 20-something years of my career where I really didn't have to fight people, but I did. That's the old school. That's the old throwback type of mentality that I've been taught, brought up with, and understand that's important to me.
All right, and our next question is coming from Ray Flores with ESPN.
Bernard, how are you?
I'm doing good.
A question for you, Bernard. Do you think that you had a tendency to be able to get into the minds of fighters, especially during fight week? With this being the biggest fight of Kovalev's career, do you think that as you prepare and get ready for fight week, and during fight week, that you'll be able to do the same kind of throw him off his game as you guys head towards November 8th?
No, I mean, that's, to me, that's, I mean, I speak what I believe. And if I speak what I believe, and somehow that weakens your confidence or somehow, I don't consider that as getting to somebody's head. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to apologize for being, you could say, confident of my hard work and my discipline and believing in what I'm going to do. And I understand most humans don't really believe what they're going to do, even though a lot of them say it, whether it's boxing or anything in life. I just never looked at things like that. And so when I speak with confidence. I speak with sincereness. And that's somehow getting in somebody's head. I mean, this is boxing. You have to be able to promote a fight. You have to be able to say what you really, really mean. And if you're going to have some fun, then have some fun and good taste. But in the same token, it might be in bad taste. So I really don't know when people, when humans get that from, is that somehow I'm getting in the guy's head. So maybe that's why I won so many fights over the years. I mean, to me, that's the lame excuse for being as not confident as your next guy or next opponent or the champion or non-champion. To me, that's the lame way of saying, look, yeah, he beat me, but he got in my head. Or they setting up something later on to write, as I mentioned to the last caller, some reporter or somebody out there that has a bad night because, you know, somehow they got to go to bed and think about writing about me tomorrow. They got to say, well, I got in the guy's head, that's how I beat him. I mean, you get credit where credit's due, but humans normally, some don't think that way, and I understand it. I know them, they don't know me. I understand them, they don't understand me. So I don't know. I mean, I can answer it because I just did, but I don't look at all my victories or even one of my victories out of 60-something fights as getting in somebody's head. I look at it as being a better fighter, better plan, better preparation, and took care of my business.
Well, obviously you get it done inside the ropes, but, you know, assuming with Sergey, he has a lot of confidence heading into this fight naturally. But in the first rounds, as Dad mentioned, if you are able to take his best shot, you know, do you think that you're going to allow him and make him doubt himself as you go ahead and as the fight progresses?
I don't know what's in his head. I mean, that's something that everybody's going to be watching. The best puncher is coming up with one of the best defense in boxing. That's why I can still talk and hold a sentence with you without you, you know, happening to figure out what I'm saying. I mean, this has all come from a read. This all came from being smart in the ring and understanding the sweet science of boxing. So I don't know what this man going to do. I don't know what's in his head other than November 8th, I hope, on HBO. But that's the million-dollar question. What's going to happen when he hits Bernard? What's going to happen when he do this to Bernard? If they watched and seen other fighters over the past who, to me, was just as strong as punches as he was, and I took it right on the chin if I had to. But I'm in no contest to show that I got a bigger chin or a better chin, by no means. But what I can say to you is that there's a chance of being knocked down. There's a chance I get up. There's a chance he can get knocked down, as we've seen in the last fight. Slight slip, but whatever. The best man at the end of the day will raise his hand and be there, to me, the undisputed and the light heavyweight in the division. And that's important to me. Right now in my life, that's important.
All right, and we'll go with our next question. This is coming from Grigo. I'm sorry, I can't see your last name. Grigo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bernard, how are you doing?
Yes, how are you doing?
The question is, Kovalov, you, despite of you being a legend of the sport and having two titles, Kovalov is a clear favorite of this fight. How do you think, what is the point of this stakes?
What is the point?
What is the point of you being such an experienced guy, but Kovalov is a clear favorite?
And that's not new to me. I mean, a lot of guys have been in favor over Bernard Hopkins
And who make the odds are not boxing people. Who make the odds are people they set odds so you can bet. And if you think that, you know, whether it's 4-1, 3-1, 2.5-1, I don't know what the odds are. But the odds never been for Bernard Hopkins. I made the odds for me by putting my work in and beating fights that I shouldn't have beaten, they say, or shouldn't have accomplished, and I did it in grand fashion. So, I mean, it's opinions of what they feel, and they normally right, but not with me. I've proven them wrong more than they've proven me wrong. And so when you look at the odds and you look at favorites, you know, taking heed of that, but also understand when it comes to Bernard Hopkins, you got to look at the history of the underdog and how I made a career of being a career out of being not the favorite. And in a lot of big fights I've been in, I haven't been the favorite. Even in the De La Hoya fight, my partner, I was the underdog. I mean, this is something that I embrace. Anybody that know Bernard Hopkins, anybody that followed the alien and the executioner, they know I love this. I mean, I would be talking different if I was the favorite. I wouldn't feel right. I have a stomach ache and everything. This is beautiful.
Is there something that Kovalov has, and you look at it and think, maybe I should pay more attention at it?
No. I mean, you know, I've been in the game so many years, and I understand. I look at myself as a student and a teacher in the game and still active, three things. And, you know, after a while, you see what you see, and you get to business, and you learn how to make those adjustments, and you make those adjustments as rounds go. So, I mean, I know what I got to work with. I know what I got to see, and I know what I got to expect. And so this is going to be a fight where whoever got the best plan, whoever got the best chin, whoever had the best plan and strategy will win the fight.
At age of 49, what is your biggest asset?
Everything.
Even punch and power?
Everything.
All right, and we're going to go ahead and move on to our last question today. This is coming from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Barred.
Thank you very much. Hello, Bernard. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
A question I have, do you view Kovalev? We know Kovalev's record. He's gotten a whole bunch of knockouts in a row. But do you view him as a kind of one-dimensional fighter?
No. He has a long history of amateur pedigree in it. And he has John David Jackson, who, if he's seen one-dimensional, he changed that and made some adjustments. Just like John been around me, I've been around him. And so it works both ways. It don't go two ways. And, you know, one thing about Bernard Hopkins, I'm not just a fighter. And I never represented myself like that. I always take a page out of old and new trainers' book and understand the good and separate what's not so good about certain individuals. And to me, it's not one-dimensional. He only had to be one-dimensional because the guys he fought, he knocked out. But now you're stepping up now to a different level. You're stepping up to the professor, the alien, the teacher. You're stepping up into a different neighborhood. The other neighborhoods, you understood. But this neighborhood is kind of strange. And November 8th on HBO, be a part of rounds in those fights where you're going to say, oh, this is ready to happen again. See, one thing about Bernard Hopkins fights, normally anybody that's going to get on the next call, they can tell me if they've been watching me long enough, and maybe you yourself, you can sort of get a sense how this fight's going to go after so many rounds, whatever that round is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Now, let's not get mistaken that, you know, the fight's not over until somebody get knocked out or the 12 rounds ends. But there's a pattern where you understand that Kovalov is not being the guy he was
10, 5, 3, 4 fights ago. And so when I disarm him, don't be upset, son. Just enjoy the artwork. Enjoy Miles Davis. Enjoy the jazz that will be played amongst the breeze in the air at the Convention Boardwalk Hall, November 8th on HBO. Enjoy. The concert's going to be great.
Great. You could get Kind of Blue and play that after the fight. I have another quick question about another subject people haven't asked, that somebody that you know for a long time, Larry Hazard, has returned as the head of the New Jersey State Athletic Control Board. Do you have any comments on that? Because, of course, he was head of that for 20-something years, and then they took him out, and now he's just come back a couple of weeks ago. Any comment on that?
Well, I think it's a great thing for Atlantic City. He's always been a great ambassador and commissioner for boxing, and always been fair from the outsiders to the insiders, and no matter where you're from, he ran the rules and he told everybody how he felt, and he was strong. And so to me, it couldn't have been in the best hands, because, you know, Atlantic City has sort of fell off in boxing in many, many years. And a lot of that probably had to do because of Mr. Hazard, you know, wasn't at the helm. But, yeah, I heard that months ago, but I'm glad that somebody and somewhere, you know, reconsidered putting him back in a position to run and get back to the boxing in the New Jersey area of you know, New Jersey, Atlantic City. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing for boxing, man. It's a good thing for him.
Okay, thank you, and good luck November 8th.
Be watching. Thank you.
Okay, that was our last question for Bernard. Thank you so much, Bernard. And if you Oscar have any final comments, you can make them now, and we'll hang up. You good, Bernard?
Thank you very much.
No, fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much to all the media. Thanks, champ.
Thank you.
November 8th, you don't want to miss it, especially live on HBO Championship Boxing. Thank you very much.
Good job, y'all. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, and that will conclude our call for the day.